and Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters. Our topic today is how the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce is pitching in for the community. And, of course, we'll delve into the other good things the Chamber brings to the community at large and to businesses locally. My guest is Lou Molitor, President and CEO of the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce. Good morning, Lou.
Good morning, Len.
You had your annual meeting last week with a combination of both in-person and virtual participation. Tell me, it was a pretty good meeting. What did your board and officers report to the community? Please share a little bit about that with our listeners. And awards and honors, we can talk about those a little bit. I'd like to know about those. I think we should share some of the big award winners with the community. And of course, you had a closing speaker who gave a stemwinder speech on social justice and exhorted all the attending as leaders of the community to be informed and to be active in social justice. So tell us a little bit about your annual meeting. I think it was a really great success, especially during these troubled times with health.
Yes, indeed. We are very pleased with the annual meeting. It was our 104th annual meeting, how old the chamber is. And we had an attendance of 150 individuals, both in person and virtually. Our board chair, David Strash, talked a little bit about how challenging the year was with the pandemic and with the social unrest here in Kenosha. However, we maintained, and we're right now at 685 members. So last year, we got 64 new members, and he was excited to report that. We had a great meeting with a lot of nice awards that we awarded to deserving individuals. We gave chamber scholarships to four of the high school scholarship recipients. Every year, we do give $10,000 or more in scholarships, so those, I'm sure, were very much appreciated. We also have the Herzing Scholarships, which we have a relationship with Herzing University, where with two adult learners are chosen to get basically a full-ride scholarship towards their degree through Herzing. And we're very appreciative of that from Herzing University. Our Ambassador of the Year was Wendy Gauss. A Community Partner Award was Herzing University also. Wendy Gauss was from RE/MAX Newport Elite, by the way. We gave a Best Place to Work award that went to Specialized Accounting Services. And we also gave beautification awards to a number of new construction in Kenosha. Historic Barden by Whitico was one of the beautification award winners. The Downtown Kenosha Inc. Group for what they did with downtown after the civil unrest. Unfortunately, we're still boarded up. We're looking forward to get the boards down pretty soon, but hopefully the civil unrest will be gone for good. And then we also gave a beautification award to the Apis Hotel and Restaurant, a brand new facility. Paul Campagna is the president of that company. A beautiful hotel and restaurant. Unfortunately, it just came at the wrong time with this pandemic and civil unrest. Hasn't quite filled up to capacity yet, but I'm sure it will. It's that good of a place. So the annual meeting was awesome. The chairman's award was given to Amanda Blummel from David Insurance for all her services to the chamber. And then, of course, we had two keynote speakers, Corey Elijah. Some of your listeners may remember him with his podcast from the civil unrest. He was right in the middle of things, and it was very intriguing and somewhat dangerous, but we were informed through his podcast. And also Marvin Bembry, who you mentioned. Marvin is a trainer for John Maxwell. I've known Marvin for a lot of years. He's a dynamic speaker, and for those that were in attendance, they were just blown away.
Well, how did you know him? How did you get him here? He was national level speaker. He was just mind blowing. He was so good. I mean, his message was terrific in my view, and his presentation was just phenomenal.
Back in 2007, I applied for a job as the president of the Lake County Chamber of Commerce. And Marvin, who at that time was the director of government affairs with Abbott Laboratories, interviewed me and hired me on the spot. And I served as their president for 2 years. I came to Kenosha in 08, and the rest is history as far as my tenure at the Kenosha Area Chamber. But I maintained my relationship with Marvin. I consider him a mentor, a good friend. And he went from Abbott Labs to the John Maxwell leadership team. And you're right. He is a world class, not at least a national class, but world class speaker. And we were fortunate to have him.
Yeah, well, it's good that you're now on the correct side of the state line, and we're glad to have you here, Lou.
Well, I've lived in life, so I'm glad to be here too. So
that's even better. Now, tell us a little bit about Marvin's message. And the chamber does things on its own, but it also knows a lot about what's going on in the community because of the kind of organization you are. So I wonder if you would just share a few tidbits before we go on about other matters about what you think is going on in the community amongst your members, and maybe where you think your own board might be going in the future in terms of issues they're going to be considering as the result of his very impressive challenge to us, all of us here in the community.
Well, it seems like a key buzzword in today's business environment is working together, helping each other out, watching each other's back, and reaching out. And we're all in one down, one uptown, one K-town, one Kenosha town. So we all try to work together. The chamber works with our members, and we've even gone outside of our membership to help out during these challenging times. During the civil unrest, the number of chamber member businesses, as well as others, suffered some damage. And sometimes the insurance didn't pay. What we did is we surveyed our members, kind of got an estimate as to what their damage was, and referred them to financial resources through the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and the Wisconsin Department of Revenue. We also worked with businesses that were suffering just because of the pandemic. And indeed, the chamber suffered because of the pandemic too, and tried to refer them to sources of financial aid, either through the state or the government. We feel that we need to support all businesses, not just chamber members, but all businesses. Of course, we love them to be a chamber member. I mean, that's what we're here for. But we'll provide the service as far as referral, as far as advocacy, as far as helping their business connect with other businesses so they can get back to business as usual and grow and prosper.
Tell me, Lou, the financial aspect of the chamber's work is very interesting, and I know you have a foundation. Tell me about the work of your foundation, and maybe if people are so inclined to help out the efforts of the chamber or to funnel help to the community through the good offices of the chamber, how they might do that. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. We're fortunate to have a foundation through the chamber. It's a foundation for education, and its sole purpose is to raise money for scholarships for graduating Kenosha County High School seniors. Each year we have a number of activities that raise money, including a golf outing, a sport fishing contest in Lake Michigan, the Great Kenosha Raffle at our Kenosha Expo. And we raise enough money to award between $10,000 and $15,000 in scholarships each year to deserving Kenosha County High School seniors. This year, we were fortunate, even with the pandemic and the late golf outing that we had, to raise, again, about $10,000.
Well, that's pretty good. Congratulations. I think that you pivoted quite well, and it helps to do things outdoors. You know, it's organizations that have their own zoo, for example, or a botanical garden. They've got it made during the warm months, and it's going to be tougher now that winter is coming. So right. That foundation, because it is a charitable organization, donations to it, consult your tax advisor, but donations to it would most likely be qualify for a charitable deduction, would they not?
Absolutely. It's a 501c3, and if anybody is interested in making a donation to our foundation, they can go to our website and it has a foundation link, or they can certainly call me at the chamber and I'll be more than happy to help them out.
And what's the name? What's the official name of your foundation?
Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce Foundation for Education.
That's pretty easy. Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce Foundation for Education. Mm-hmm. Well, that's terrific. Lou, you know that I'm a big fan of scholarships. And if you don't fish, if you don't golf, you can still click on their webpage or take out that weird old-fashioned quaint thing called a checkbook.
That's right.
What are the?
And, we'll take
and
checks.
Send in some money, and it'll be well used. You have a process. You have a very interesting, good process for making those awards, so that there's some intentionality behind it. Do you want to explain how that works?
Each year we get, for the scholarships, is that what you're referring to, Len?
Each year
we get anywhere from 40 to 50 applications for scholarships. We solicit high school counselors to give us referrals. We solicit our membership, because one of the qualifications is each applicant must have some connection to the chamber, whether they work for a chamber business, their parents work for a chamber business, or their grandparents. Some connection with the chamber business. And once then they send us an application, which is screened by a committee, and the top 10 applications are called in for a live interview. This year we gave them the option of either having a live interview or a Zoom interview because of the pandemic. So, and the committee breaks it down to the top four or five, depending upon how much money we have. And they did take four winners that received a scholarship of $2,500 each.
Well, this is a splendid way to strengthen our business community and strengthen the families that participate in making Kenosha's businesses work. And that's a wonderful thing, Lou. Now, I wonder if you would help us dig a little bit deeper. You know, everybody has heard of the Chamber of Commerce, and there's practically hardly a town that doesn't have a Chamber of Commerce. They're all over the place. What's the mission of the Chamber of Commerce? And I think that most of us have the idea, if we haven't really delved into it, that Chambers of Commerce are just for the business community, and it's sort of like a trade association that is only concerned about itself. But as I've observed the Chambers of Commerce in many communities, and particularly here at home in the Kenosha-Racine-Walworth area, I see that you all have a broader vision of what you do in the community. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, that's a great question, Len. And one of the things that separates a Chamber of Commerce from just a networking group or organization is that we are very community-minded. We work with the school systems. We honor the teachers. We work with the students, as you know, with the scholarships. Also work with the mayor's office and the county executive's office so that we are always involved in what's going on with our community. Our mission is to connect and engage member businesses with the greater Kenosha County business community, and that way our businesses, member businesses, can grow and prosper. There's five basic things that the chambers do that really lends value to businesses. We provide them opportunities and resources in order to expand and grow through programs, partnerships, initiatives. Again, if there's an opportunity for some funding someplace and a business qualifies, we'll refer them to that. So a lot of times we have our weekly emails that go out to our member businesses, show out and tell about opportunities for additional resources. We also have access to information, newsletters, email newsletters. We are a member of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, the State Chamber of Commerce. I attend their webinars. We report on that on our chamber blog. By the way, we do have a chamber blog on our website, which is KenoshaAreaChamber.com. And on that blog, a lot of information goes out. Right now, we have information to businesses that may have suffered some damage during the civil unrest about some grants that they may be able to access through Wisconsin Department of Revenue. Also, the big mainstay for chambers is networking. We offer a variety of networking opportunities, and not just in Kenosha, but outside of Kenosha, in Kenosha County in southeast Wisconsin. Even in the whole corridor between Milwaukee and Chicago, we provide networking opportunities. One of the things that I send out to prospective members is a study that was done by the Shapiro Group in 2007, which is still pertinent today, how the public views a business that's a chamber member in a more favorable eye than a non-chamber member. Statistically, it has been shown. So publicity and credibility goes with the business if you join a chamber. And the final thing is advocacy. I keep my finger on the pulse in Kenosha, in Madison, in Washington. I talk to all of our elected officials often, and if there's anything that's coming down the tube as far as legal changes or new laws or a chance for money or whatever, I try to inform our members about that.
That's quite an array of services, and I want to talk a little bit more about some of those in detail. But I want to remind our listeners that we're talking to today on Community Matters, the president and CEO of the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce, Lou Molitor. Lou, I wonder if you would tell us a little bit more about the training that you do. As I recall, you offer training and access to training from time to time. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, one of the big training programs that we have is called Leadership Kenosha. And Leadership Kenosha is what I feel the premier leadership development program in Kenosha County for professionals. It is a 9-month course. This year, we're doing it both virtually and in person. The 2021 class is our 22nd class, so it's been around for a number of years with many hundreds of graduates. We provide not only information and actual trips to various parts of our community, including businesses, manufacturing, the political offices, the jail, farms, just so that the attendee of Leadership Kenosha could experience every aspect of Kenosha County. Coupled with that are training on leadership techniques through various books on leadership and through speeches and presentations like the one that Marvin gave. Marvin's actually a trainer for Leadership Kenosha. It's an excellent course. It's very reasonably priced, and a lot of people take advantage of it. We also have throughout the year various lunch and learns and other types of training that we do and offer to our members. We've had training on, using social media, for example, or which a lot of businesses really could use some help in using social media. We've, training on insurance and many other different areas. So
I'd like to dwell a little bit on Leadership Kenosha. I've watched that very carefully. I know the people who run it. I'm very impressed with what they do and the kinds of things they put together. And I want to talk a little bit about it because I think it's a tremendous investment in leadership in our community. And I've seen what happens when the individuals who are new to the community or who are on the younger side go through this. They are forever changed in how they approach their work and how they approach living and having a work-life balance and community engagement. So I wonder if you'll talk us a little bit more about what the application process is, who's eligible to become a member of Leadership Kenosha, and who foots the bill for that.
Well, Leadership Kenosha is open to all residents of Kenosha County. Whether you're a chamber member or not, you do get a little bit of a break on the pricing if you're a chamber member. And also if you're a nonprofit organization, you get a break on the pricing. We do offer scholarships in case a business, especially nonprofits, cannot afford the full tuition, although the tuition is fairly reasonable. This year, the tuition for a chamber member is $1,300 for the 9-month program, which I think is a pretty reasonable price compared to other training programs. Nonprofits actually have $100 off and a chance to get a $500 scholarship, too. So.
Now, if I wanted to fund some of those scholarships, let's suppose I wanted to fund some of those scholarships because I'm so crazy a believer in this program to benefit our community, would I write a check to the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce Educational Foundation or to the chamber or which?
To the foundation. Leadership Kenosha is a program out of our foundation because it's, again, a foundation for education. Leadership Kenosha is an educational program. So if
I wanted to restrict it to that, I would put that on the memo line, Leadership Kenosha. Otherwise, it would go into the unrestricted pot for any kind of scholarship for your programs.
That's correct.
So that's really important for us all to know because this is such an investment in the future of Kenosha. I just can't overemphasize how important this is. And it's not a program that's not unique to Kenosha. I've seen it in other communities where I've lived. But I think we have an especially great program because we have not only the business community through the chamber engaged, but you have a stunning amount of engagement through the University of Wisconsin Parkside and the UW Extension, don't you?
Yeah, the trainer, the facilitators of Leadership Kenosha this year are Dr. Deborah Karp from University of Wisconsin Parkside and Amy Garrigan, also from the University of Wisconsin Parkside. They do a great job. Once a month, the Leadership Kenosha holds its training day, And I forgot to mention one other important thing is that the Leadership Kenosha participants are broken into groups of approximately 4 or 5 individuals, and they vote on doing a community project from a nonprofit. Interesting enough, one of the things they're doing this year for the chamber is working on developing some sort of a membership activity for the chamber, because we're a nonprofit also, and seeing if we can grow our chamber in these challenging times right now.
Well, that's terrific. And those projects are quite important for their learning. And the folks I've talked to who have gone through that speak very highly of that experience and what they've gained from it. Now, if a person is running a nonprofit who's listening, or a board member and wants to engage with you on that kind of a basis, what would they do to connect with you?
Best thing is to give me a call and indicate that they'd like to have a project considered for Leadership Kenosha. Unfortunately, all the projects are handed out this year already, so it would have to be for the 21-22 class. But we're always taking ideas and projects, and you know, if you have one, we'll consider it.
Now, if I want to contact you, what's the best thing to do? Do I go to a URL? What's your URL on the website again?
It's KenoshaAreaChamber.com.
And I can. There's a contact page there, is there not?
Yes, there is, and it has my numbers on there, and everybody else's too.
You have something as quaint as a telephone still with a landline, and we can still reach you that way, and we don't have to do it digitally, right?
They can give us a call at 262-654-1234, or again, they can send me an email at lou@kenoshaareachamber.com. So,
give us that phone number again, Lou.
262-654-1234.
Wow, that's a classy phone number. Yeah. You had to be first on the block to get that one, huh?
Well, you know, interesting enough, Len, the phone number 656-1234 is the police station. So you wouldn't believe how many calls we get asking for the police station.
Gosh.
So they just dialed the wrong number there. So.
That's great. I didn't know that. All right, I learned something. I'll be careful. I'll be very careful when I dial you from now on, Luke.
There you go.
Now, I wonder if you would tell us a little bit more about some of your other projects that are really quite interesting, and I've participated in some of them. I'm a member, full disclosure, I'm a member of the Chamber of Commerce because I operate a very small solo.
Hello. There you go. I'm back.
Yeah, their Business After Five. You have a networking thing. You want to tell us about the Business After Five, which now necessarily isn't after five, but tell us about that networking, how that works, and why that's useful.
Well, one of the mainstays that the Chamber has as far as its networking service is the Business After Five networking, which we conduct quarterly or monthly, depending upon demand. Last year we had them quarterly. With COVID, we changed it a little bit, and I'll get into that. But Business After Five networking actually brings members over to a business for a 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock casual networking event where they can visit the business and take a tour of the business and check it out. Plus, they can bring lots of business cards and have the opportunity to have many potential customers put right in front of them through our networking event. So during COVID now, we did have some virtual networking with the same Business After Five model. It isn't quite the same, but it was successful in some extent. So
I'm happy to hear that. Now, you have a Kenosha Expo every year. Do you want to tell us what Kenosha Expo has been in the past and what you're planning for the future? And I know that might not be 100% set, but tell us what you know.
Well, Kenosha Expo has had 23 years of success delivering information about Kenosha businesses to the Kenosha community. Each year in the early spring, right between the Super Bowl and March Madness, we have the Expo. The last 10 years, we've had it at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside in the Fieldhouse. We have 140 vendors, including nonprofit vendors, healthcare provider, and business vendors, and we have between 5,000 and 6,000 people attend the expo over the weekend. A great chance to make deals on purchases for home improvement, to get a health check from one of the healthcare providers, to talk to some of the agencies in town, because we have a family activity area where nonprofits get together and display their wares. was just a lot of fun, and we really enjoy it. However, this year in 2021, it's a little bit up in the air because I'm not sure we can get into a place where you can have 5,000 people under one roof. It's a little tough. So
you may suspend this year, but it'll be back.
It'll be back. It's not going to be canceled. We'll modify it. We'll perhaps suspend it or reschedule it. From my experience talking to my colleagues throughout the state, virtual expos like that just don't really work. So we're probably not going to do that, but we'll see.
Now, you also do a business-to-business expo, which is a bit different. Tell us what that is, because if whether or not it takes place this year or not is a little bit irrelevant to our discussion in the sense that these are services that are going to resume as soon as you're able.
Right. The Kenosha Expo is a business-to-consumer event. The business-to-business expo, as it states, is a business-to-business event where businesses can market to other businesses. A little less attended. We have about 200 to 300 people attend that, 50 to 60 vendors. Typically, it's a 3 to 4 hour event in the fall, late fall, early winter. This year, we have postponed it, looking to reschedule it maybe for the spring. But it's a great opportunity if your business model is selling wares or goods and services to other businesses to get in front of these other businesses and perhaps do some business.
Now, you have something called regional connections as well. I haven't been to one of those, but they look like they're very interesting. You partner with other chambers, as I understand it, to promote business-to-business interaction outside of the immediate Kenosha area. We do not exist by ourselves. In fact, from what I gather, our budget's going to be mightily improved by the people from Illinois who came across the state line this summer and had spent money in Wisconsin instead of in Illinois, and we have a better sales tax collection than expected. But aside from that, tell us about regional connections. What's all that about?
Well, you know, Len, the dollar bill is just as green in Racine County as it is in Lake County as it is in Walworth County. At least I think it is. So there's opportunities for business across county lines and state lines. Regional Connections does just that. It partners with chambers from Racine, from Walworth County, from Lake County, Illinois. We get together, 100 to 150 individuals get together for what it's basically a speed networking type of event. Some of you may be speed daters out there in the radio land, but in speed networking, you are with 10 other businesses. You give your one to two minute elevator speech, and then you go around. The next person gives their 1 to 2 minute elevator speech, and you do that until everybody's done. And it's usually over a luncheon, so that in between the elevator speech and going to another table, you can have one of your lunch courses. A great event was originated by the Kenosha Area Chamber of Commerce, and it's survived all these years. It's pretty exciting at times.
Now, you know, your slogan includes that your members are committed to doing business with integrity. And I wonder if you would explain for our listeners, when they look at your website, they'll see that as part of your mission, what your members believe in, business with integrity. What does that mean to your members?
Well, I take great pride in all my years here at the Chamber, and I've been with the Chamber of Commerce in Kenosha now for 12 years. They're very seldom do I get any complaints regarding a member business of any type. Again, I mentioned earlier that being a member of a Chamber of Commerce usually has the public view that business more favorably. And Chamber members do try to maintain high integrity when doing business with the community, maintaining good relationships with the customers, having honest business, trying to, you hate to use the word misinform or cheat anybody, but certainly nobody does. And what we do at the Chamber is if there's a business that does go outside what they should be doing, the public can give us a Chamber a call or give us a letter and say, hey, this business did this business did that. And we will intervene and let the business know that they have somebody that's not too satisfied. But we want all of our businesses to have satisfied customers. We want all of the customers to know that the Chamber has businesses that are reputable, that have high integrity, and it's an easy place to do business with.
Are your members mainly big businesses or small businesses? Do you have a big range? The large firms that are located here and have a major presence here, are they just as likely to be members of the chamber as the Ma and Pa store at the corner?
70% of our members have 15 employees or less, and that's the mainstay of our chamber membership. However, we do have the Snap-ons and the U-Lines and the Ocean Sprays and Freighter, the big businesses, they're members also. We try to break down and offer services geared towards what the business is. You know, the CEO of Snap-on probably doesn't need to do networking, but perhaps his middle managers do, or perhaps his middle managers can get involved in Leadership Kenosha and work on their leadership and community awareness skills. So we do provide services for all businesses, no matter what the size.
And they get to know each other, and that can lead to business relationships as well as personal mentoring and so forth, too, can't it?
Absolutely, Len, absolutely.
You have a business directory on your website. You want to explain that to me and how listeners can use that?
Well, we have a business directory on the website. We also print a hard copy one. This year it's been a little tough with COVID and the civil unrest to get that going. We are, now that our annual meeting is done, we're going to move forward with getting the directory put together. Each year we publish a new directory, and the directory online has all of our members listed, contact information, address, phone number. And if you're looking for, let's say, a hairstylist, you can go on our website. The business category would be barbershops, hairstylists, and you can take a look at who the chamber members are that do that. And because they're chamber members, you know, they have high integrity, as we just talked about, and a good place to do business. So probably get over 1,000 hits a month on our chamber directory.
Well, that's pretty cool. If right where you see the business name, Lou, can you click on it and go to their website or something?
Yes.
In some cases?
Yes, you can in some cases. I think in most cases you can go right to their website if they give us their website. Yes,
that's terrific. I'd like to take a step back from the details we've been talking about now. We're friends. You've been in Kenosha and you've been very engaged in our community now from well before you took this position, Lou. I wonder if you would just share with us your perspectives. How have you seen Kenosha develop and change over the last, say, 20 years? What are your impressions? Where do you think we've been? Where do you think we're going in terms of the general business environment and the quality of life here?
Well, as I mentioned before, I'm a lifelong Kenosha resident, and my father worked at Snap-on Tools as a laborer. My mother worked at Kenosha Memorial Hospital, which is now Freighter, as a nurse's aide. You know, I went to all the schools here in Kenosha, and I remember you know, all the crazy days down uptown and downtown, and all the different ways that the uptown and downtown have changed over the years. Some good, some not so good. But always, I've always had a faith and a belief that Kenosha's better days are coming, we just haven't reached our best days yet. You know, COVID did put a little bit of a slowdown in what happened to Kenosha. But once all the manufacturing left Kenosha, despite the opinions of the naysayers, we rebounded well. Our city leaders and volunteers put together a great plan in order to transform Kenosha from a manufacturing town to a service town, an eclectic business town, where we have many different business sectors in Kenosha right now. And they're all working together to make Kenosha just a very unique town. Many people come to Kenosha either to work or to play or to live. And once they come here, you know, they see a great community, a great educational system, great parks, a great lake to our east that's just a natural wonder with a world-class fishery there. So there's many just super, super things about Kenosha. And I think, as I mentioned before, that our best days are yet to come.
Yeah, I remember crazy days, Lou. A little known fact about me is that when I was in my last years of high school, I helped as a barker on the street than some of those tables downtown Kenosha. I had forgotten doing that until you just mentioned it, I guess.
Those were the good old days, right, with all those companies.
I also did a little turn on WAXO FM radio, which probably is unknown to most of our listeners because that goes back a bit of a ways. Yeah. Now, when you talk about your relationships in Kenosha, we haven't talked about the Kenosha Area Business Alliance, CABA. And I wonder if you would just explain what your relationship is to CABA. That's a different kind of organization. I would classify it as an economic development organization, principally. I wonder if you would just help our listeners understand. I don't think it's obvious to people, unless you really are paying attention, what the difference is between these organizations. They definitely are not the same.
Well, CABA is the economic development arm of Kenosha County. They receive funding from the county in order to attract businesses to come into Kenosha County. Now, they have a large loan portfolio, which they can use to make concessions to businesses as far as infrastructure or taxes to incentivize them to come to Kenosha, move their business here. They do a great job. As people can see, we've had a lot of businesses come to Kenosha, and they're still coming to Kenosha. Their mission, again, is primarily to bring economic development and new businesses to Kenosha. The Chamber's mission is basically to keep the businesses here. Once the business is established here in Kenosha, we provide the services to help them grow and prosper, to stay in Kenosha, to grow their business and you know, keep them satisfied as far as doing business in Kenosha County.
Do you have any feedback from your members as to how comfortable they are? I mean, what's the pulse? What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening, Lou, in terms of your membership with respect to the recovery from, first of all, from the civil unrest. So let's talk about that for a moment.
Well, I think there's a lot of businesses that are still pretty nervous. If you go downtown, most of the boards are still up. Maybe it's about maybe 40, 60, as far as 60% of the boards are still up. My building here in downtown Kenosha, the boards are still up, waiting for the official results of the investigation and trial. I think people are a little bit nervous. They don't want to go through it again. Some businesses are taking down their boards, but keeping them close by so they can go up at a very quick notice. I think that it's going to take a little while before the majority of the business community, especially in downtown and uptown, get that level of confidence to have business as usual again.
What about their financial concerns? They must have financial worries, and are they clamoring for more advocacy for relief and stimulus money from the feds and funneled from the state in one way or another?
Absolutely. What's shared with me is that many businesses are very close to going out of business unless they get some relief, to be very frank with you, Lem. They're looking for additional relief from the federal government or from the state, which is available, but it's not. Sometimes it's just not enough. Sometimes businesses aren't aware of it. Part of my job is to make sure that our businesses are aware of what's available out there. The chamber itself, during the pandemic, went through some pretty hard times financially. Businesses could not pay dues. We couldn't hold events, so we had very little revenue coming in. And unfortunately, the federal government, in its own wisdom, decided not to give any assistance to 501c6 organizations, which is what a chamber is. So we had to scramble and go through, like many businesses, with furloughs and everything else. But hey, we're back to doing business as normal right now and trying to move forward. We hope that the federal government and the state will continue to give a little bit of recovery money so that we can get every business back on the road to being thriving again.
What do you have coming up next? You have a regional connections on November 12th, I think. Do you want to tell us what that's going to be like?
Well, again, that's the regional connections, the multi-chamber networking event that we're going to be doing. We also have a virtual legislative breakfast coming up. I believe that's in December. It's not a breakfast, it's a legislative update where we have our state legislators giving us an update as to what's going on in Madison.
I usually attend that. How's that going to work this year? I don't know if there was a special date fixed yet or not. I can't remember.
I believe so. I don't have it on the tip of my tongue.
That's okay. We'll look for that. But we'll be able to zoom.
It is on our calendar. So
okay, we'll be able to zoom into that in some way. Yeah, right. That's very important for people to listen to. And I think that maybe if that's a virtual meeting this year or has a virtual component, that'd be something that the general public would love to drop in on, because it's extremely informative. And I always try to be there, but I won't be able to do that. I'll have to do that virtually, but I'm looking forward to that very much.
It'll be virtual, and all of our state representatives and the senators have already committed to being there. I just don't remember what the date is right now.
But. That's super. That's terrific. Mm-hmm. We can look that up very easily. I wonder if you could tell us if there's anything planned in early 2021 that we ought to be holding a date for, or not yet.
Well, not yet. Again, the biggest thing is the expo was slated for the first weekend in March, which it traditionally is. We also have a scholarship fishing, Lake Michigan fishing outing scheduled for early spring during the Coho Salmon Run, which isn't, the date isn't set yet, but it's a fundraiser for our scholarship fund. So just keep going to our website. We have a calendar there that gives you all the information about all of our events coming up.
And I might note that we're recording this session on October 22nd, ahead of our actual broadcast air date. Lou, as we wind up our wonderful conversation, I wonder if you would share with us the aspirations of your board and yourself for the future. What are some of your priorities? What kind of activities are you looking toward in terms of helping the community recover and prosper? And what are your aspirations also for not only that piece, but also for the growth of the chamber itself and the strengthening of your own infrastructure as a strong not-for-profit organization?
Well, we certainly hope that we're able to market Kenosha as a wonderful place for people to come and visit, to do business with, to shop. One thing I didn't mention is that during the civil unrest, I got many, many phone calls from people. Is it safe to come to Kenosha? Is it safe to come to Kenosha? And of course it's safe to come to Kenosha. I mean, we had a few individuals that did some nasty things, but I think we're past all that. We're rebuilding. Very soon all the boards will be down. Business will get back to, at least on the surface, business as usual. Hopefully we'll be able to get some recovery money for the businesses to reestablish, you know, their budgets, and they'll be able to replenish their inventories and their furniture, whatever it is, or software, and get back to business. Our goal is to get all the businesses, especially member businesses, back to business like it used to be for them, if not better. I think we all got a little better training on how to use virtual technology in order to do business. And I'm sure some of the businesses will maintain that as far as their business plan, I'm sure. As far as the chamber, we want to not only provide the assistance to all of our members to help them grow and prosper, but we want to grow ourselves. We want to grow our foundation so we can give maybe $15,000 to $20,000 in scholarships in the upcoming years. We want to grow our membership base to over 700 in order to somehow provide better services, more services. You know, you have more funding, you can provide better services to attain the mission of connecting our members to the greater Kenosha County business community. In order to do that, though, we just have to have solid membership. We have to have our finances solid, and we're working on all that. Once we get past the civil unrest and the pandemic, we'll be even better than we are right now.
And who's the president of the organization? Yourself, right? You're president and CEO?
That's correct.
And you have a board of directors. Who are the leaders there?
Amanda Blummel from David Insurance is our new chairperson. Wendy Gauss from Remax, a mortgage company, is our vice chair. Stacy Riley from Gateway is our secretary. Laura Phelan from Uline is our treasurer. So, and we have 18 members of our board of directors.
And how are you and your family doing in this time?
Well, my wife is an employee from Snap-on, and since the pandemic started, they've asked her to work from home, and that's fine. So since March, she's been working from home. So that's pretty cool, and that they have no problem with that, because that she's safe. And so we're doing well. We're doing very well.
Great. Thanks, Lou. I really appreciate your being with us today on Community Matters. For Len Iaquinta, this is Len Iaquinta, and for Community Matters, I'm wishing you all a good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click Shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.